Good morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to know that God is in control of every aspect of our lives. Even though we feel we can do a better job. All the time. And he keeps saying, Joe, what? All our heads are very sore. But the Spirit of God continues to work and move on our behalf. You see, as we humbly just say, Lord, help us. Help our unbelief. Lord God, help our unbelief. Oh, Jesus, amen. He never gives up on us. That's right. Thank God. But we do want to welcome everyone here this morning, and we just pray that the blessings of God would be upon your heart and upon your life this morning. That God in some way will touch you and make you whole and will touch your heart and touch your mind and touch your life this morning. As we, you know, the presence of God, thank you for your worship this morning. Faith moves mountains as we put our faith in Him. Oh, thank you, Lord. The building is still being worked on. There's a few things here or there. I know the chairs, we ordered them last week. I looked it up last night. They're in Baton Rouge on the freight truck in about 16 boxes, you know, two pallets. You know, they give all that information. Okay, you know, I said, well, Lord, we need them in Gaydon here. You know, we don't need them in Baton Rouge. You know, but they're coming. So they hopefully tomorrow. They should be calling, hopefully tomorrow, Tuesday, somehow we'll get them and start you have to put the back part on and stuff like that. So, but it's soon, guys, it's coming around. So thank you for your patience and thank you for your giving, and we certainly do appreciate it. Also, last week we picked up in tithe and offerings to the church, $1,401.07. And we want to thank you for being faithful to the church. Thank you for that in your giving. You know, it astounds Jelaine and I. I mean, it really does. But you know what? That's the kind of God we serve that astounds His people. You know, just astounds us in how He moves and what He does in the hearts of the people. Amen. So thank you for your faithfulness in giving to the church. Johanna, oh, there she is. The little boy is with you too. Why don't y'all come on up? I want to pray with y'all this morning. Babe, why don't you come on up? We need to pray for them. My heart's breaking. Their father passed away. He had a heart attack. And the funeral's tomorrow. You know, I remember, how you doing, buddy? When his dad came to church, the first thing he introduced us to his dad. This is my dad. That's how you said it. And he was so proud. And I tell you, we just want the blessings of God upon these kids, that God would protect them. Yes, physically their father may be gone, and I know it's a big task for Ron and Johanna. But you know what? The Father can be their father and their mother and their brother and their sister and everything they need. But you know what? We need to pray for these kids that God would just move and help them. You know, I know she may not remember, I know, but he may, you know, some things. So if you could stretch forth your hand and we want to pray over them. Asking God to move. Oh, Jesus. Father, Lord, I just thank you. Lord God, I thank you for these children, Lord. Father, your word says that children are a blessing. And Father, we thank you that you have placed these children in this church, Lord. And Father, help us to take care of them, Lord. Help us to help them spiritually, physically, emotionally, Lord God, in every area. But Father, most of all, I pray, Father, protect these children. Lord, be with them and help them. Help them to grow into mighty men, a mighty man of God and a mighty woman of God. That the presence of God would be so evident in their lives, Lord God. That you will use them in ministry, Lord God. and you will touch them. Father, I pray for Ron and Johanna. Help them, Lord God, as they're trying to raise these children to the best of their ability. Father, be with them tomorrow. Yes. Lord God, help this family to get through, Lord God. Father, Lord, through it all, Father, through it all, you're still Lord. Through it all, Father, Lord, you're still Lord. Through the storm, Father, we still look to you. Lord, comfort this family. Lord, it seems like when all hope is gone, you're the one that lightens and brings hope to this family. In Jesus' name, amen. I bless you. Oh, how are you doing? Bless you guys. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Help them, y'all. Help them. When you see them in church, put your hand on them. Bless them. Bring them some candy or something, you know. Don't let them eat it in church because they'll run around all over. You'll hear them in the nursery, but bless them. Yeah, bring them. What kind you like? No. Chocolate, anything chocolate. Yeah, but bless them, guys. Just bless them, you know. I know it's just a hard thing sometimes. Amen, amen, amen. Well, Miss Bev and Leslie, why don't y'all come on up just for a minute? Amen. They're singing a special today. Look. Praise unto the Lord. Hey, look. Amen. We appreciate Leslie Mouton and Ms. Bev Hargrave. They've been coming here probably the last month or so. And they have filled out papers to become members of our church. And we're excited to have both of them. And we wanted to just introduce, I know most of us know them, but we wanted to let you know that they have decided that this is their church. Amen. And this is where God has placed them. And we're excited about what God is doing, because every time you get in the perfect will of God, God blesses. God moves. God moves in your own personal lives and in your families. And so we want to, Jelaine and I, we want to welcome you to our church. And we want to make a promise to you guys that we will do everything possible to be the best pastors to you. We covet your prayers, and we ask that you continue to pray for us. But we will do everything possible to be the best we can for you. And we will preach the uncompromising Word of God to you. We will not compromise in any area that we know of, but we will try to preach the truth to you in all that we know. And we take it very seriously. And we thank you for obeying the Spirit of the Lord and for coming here and being under this ministry. And we just pray that God will bless you and will put you in the areas where He wants you to be. And but we do want to welcome you here this morning. So let's just give them a round of applause. Stretch forth your hands this way as Jelaine and I just pray over them. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you for Miss Bev, Lord God, and I thank you for placing her here. Father, Lord, I thank you for the mighty work you're already doing in her heart, Lord God. Father, you're setting her in the right place at the right time, Father. And Lord God, with the right place and the right time comes the anointing of God. And Father, I pray for a double portion of your Spirit like she's never felt before. Lord God, healing of her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, work in her and through her like never before, and set her in exactly the right place. Be with her, protect her family, and help her at this time. Lord, financially bless her and be with her. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord God, I thank you for Leslie, Lord God. I thank you for that she has listened to your spirit and you brought her into this place. And Father, I pray that you would place her in the position that you want her to be in this church. Father, Lord, I thank you for her. I thank you that you are supplying for her. That, Lord God, she's going to be such an influence upon people in this community. That they will look to her and say, you go there. And they will be drawn by the Holy Ghost. And Father, Lord, work in her family. Work in her children and her grandchildren, Lord God. Her father, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, her siblings in Jesus' name. Be with her and protect her. Lead her and guide her. Your presence to be upon her life, Lord God, like never before. Lord God, supply in every area, Father. Most of all, open the Word of God to her. Open her eyes to see things that she's never seen before, Father. Build that spirit man up. And Father, I give you praise and I thank you for her. Thank you for both of these women, Lord God. Mighty women of God, we thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Welcome. Welcome. We appreciate you.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Amen. Amen. Oh, here you go. Sorry. Here's a Bible that we want to give you. Thank you. And thank you. We try to give Bibles to all members of our church. And helping them to understand the Word of God like they've never understood it before. And so we give them the Bible that I preach out of, which is the Expositor Study Bible from Jimmy Swaggart, King James Version. I just find it's very, very good as far as explanation of Scriptures. I've seen things that I've never seen before. And so I just thank God. And so we want to be a blessing to you as a church. And we pray that you use them to the glory of God. Wear it out. Wear it out. Wear it out. Wear it out. You see, because you see, we want the mind of Christ. You're reading the Word of God gives us the mind of Christ. Praying. That's why God says to come, separate yourself and pray and seek Him. Because it gives us the mind of Christ. We start to think like He thinks. We have His mind so that we don't get tossed. You know, to and fro, from left or to the right, but we stay planted and going in the right direction. Amen. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you would illuminate your word unto us this morning. And Father, pour out your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. The name above all names. It's not in my name and it's not in the name of this church. Lord, have mercy. But it's in the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Makes demon spirits flee. Brings healing to people's bodies. My God. Saves the soul of people. My God. Makes you want to run around this building. I've often told people I want to run out the front door and come in the side door. You know, it's like there's no place to run, but I can run out there, you know. Just excited about the things of God and what He's doing in our hearts and in our lives this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29 says this. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. See, that's a scripture you need to know. Because you see, what the devil will try to say is that he doesn't hear your prayers. You might say, well, Pastor, I prayed about things and it didn't happen. Well, probably because it wasn't the right time. And if God says no, God says no. Because all we do is petition Him. And He has to answer if He wants to. That's up to Him. But God always hears the prayers of the righteous. You might say, Pastor, the righteous, that's just right standing with God. Right standing with God. So every time you pray, God will hear your prayers. Every time. Not sometimes. Not only if you've been good that day. as religion likes to say, or, you know, we have good status with the church or not, you know, whatever. That doesn't make a hill of beans to God. What God is looking at is the heart of His people. And He says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayers of the righteous. He hears our prayers. He hears the prayers that we pray for ourselves. He hears the prayers that we pray for our children. He hears the prayers that we pray for our church. He hears the prayers that we pray for our spouses and for our grandchildren and children and family. He hears those prayers. And if our God hears them, we know that He will answer it however He wants. However. Could be no, could be yes, could be whatever. But He hears our prayers. Don't let the devil or even ourselves talk us out of thinking that God doesn't hear us, that we're nothing in the kingdom of God. We're something. We're something with the blood of Jesus. He makes us something. And He hears our prayers. All of us probably could stand up and testify for the things that God has done as we have gone before Him and prayed about certain things. And God has moved upon us. How when we needed a job. My God, I remember being in that place of needing a job. And let me tell you, you need a job because, you know, Slim Code doesn't let you just use their utilities for nothing, you know. You can't go to Lowry's and say, hey, when you check out, I'm sorry, I don't have money. Can I please take my groceries, you know. No, you can't do that. You know, it takes money. But God is faithful in giving the jobs that we need and even the jobs that we want or desire. God will meet our financial needs. How many of us have been healed by the presence of God? My God. And not, you know, and I know we, you know, when we say healing, we basically talking maybe about the physical, but my God, how many of us can stand before God and say, we've been healed spiritually, which is better than physically. Our spirits being whole, our spirits being right before Him. God coming in and healing our minds. Some of us were crazy people. Sane or insane, you know, we don't know, you know. God coming in as we called out to Him and said, Lord, my God, please help us, you know. Or we felt like we were going crazy. Because of the onslaught of the enemy on the outside, oppressing God's people, us or whoever, and God coming in and hearing our prayers, you know. And we think, oh Lord, thank you, I'm not crazy, you know. You know, thank you, Lord, I'm kind of sane here, you know. Thank you, Father. But God coming in and changing those things in our hearts, He answers the prayers of His people. How many of us? Something happens and you just bow your head wherever you're at. You may not fall on your knees because you can't at the time. You can't lay down prostrate on the floor because you're at work, you know. But something happens. But you know you have a few seconds. And you maybe just bow your head and you say, Father, intervene. And something changes. God hears the prayers of His people. We look at the Israelites when they were in bondage for hundreds of years. And they didn't realize that the last few years or so, Moses was being prepared as their deliverer. And He brings them on the scene. And it seems like when Moses said, go, God said, go, Moses, and Moses went in front of Pharaoh and said, let my people go. What did the devil say? Oh, you can have. No. Things got worse. Things got worse. But God heard the prayers of His people, and they were mightily delivered of all the hang-ups, of all the trash, of all the junk. And they left rich people. Gold and silver. Precious stones. They were rich when they left. God hears the prayers of His people. God hears the prayers of His people. When it seems like all has been lost, God, as we bow our heads or we go before Him, God hears the prayers of His people. The devil will try to say he doesn't. We try to even talk our way out of it sometimes. Because maybe we haven't seen God move the way we thought He should move. Because we think we know how He should move. But we don't tell the Spirit what to do. The Spirit of God tells us what to do. He is our master, but God hears the prayers of you. God hears your prayers. Psalms 34:17. Look at this. It says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and deliver them out of all their troubles." The righteous, that's you and I, that's the church, that's the righteous people. It says, "They cry, and the Lord heareth and deliver them out of all their troubles." Now, God didn't say He would just deliver us out of one trouble, or two troubles, or even just three troubles. Something happened. Think so? Get what? Can y'all get the battery? Joey, get it for me. God just doesn't deliver us. Sorry about that, y'all. You know how that is, huh? God delivers out of all of our troubles. It may not be the battery. Testing one. It is? Oh, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. I'm coming back. Coming back. 1, 2, 3, 4. Coming back. Coming back. Get him. Get him. Get him. Come back. Come back. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll just put it in here. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Is it? No. Oh, okay. Okay, well, I'm going to just... But you know what? God delivers from all of our troubles, guys. Everything. You know what? He is a God that takes care of everything. All things, guys. All things. All troubles. All troubles. Who doesn't have trouble? If you don't have trouble, you're dead. That's all I can see. But everyone has troubles. God, you know, things happen. But you see, God says that He delivered them out of all their troubles. All of them. Not just one, not two, not three, not four, not five. He takes care of all things. All things. All things. I don't know what's going on with this thing. All troubles, guys. Look, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. It's on right here, Joe. It's on. That's okay. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Oh, I hear something. I'm coming back. Oh, y'all can hear me in the back? You can hear me now. Oh, Lord. Luke chapter 8, Look at verse 22, and it says, "And it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Verse 24, And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? And he commanded even the winds and water, and they obeyed him. Here we see a scenario where Jesus said, Let's get into the ship, disciples, and let's go to the other side. I know I preached this before, but it's been on my heart all week. And I said, okay, Lord, you know, some things. But you know what? Jesus commanded the disciples, get into the ship. Let's go to the other side, the other shore of Galilee. Let's go to that place. We need to realize that all the things that happen to us, if we stay with Jesus, He is in the midst of the storm. He knows what's coming forth. Jesus knew when He said, disciples, get into my boat, get into the boat, let's get to the other side. He knew what was going to happen to them. Jesus knows when the storms of life will rise up in your life. How many times has God spoken to you or put upon your heart or impressed upon your heart, you know, Joe or who are you, look, I want you to pray a little bit more. I want you to do this. I want you to start praying a little bit more. And we, you know, sometimes we obey, sometimes we don't. Because you see, Jesus knows what's coming up. He knows what's going to get us through to the other side. He knows the problems. He knows the demon spirits. He knows the evilness of the evil world that will come up and try to hinder the work of His work. And you see, we need to know the mind of Christ. Oh, there it is. At that moment, you and I seriously need to know the mind of Christ. And the only way we're going to get to know the mind of Christ is if we spend time with Christ. If we spend time with Jesus. If we spend time with the Holy Ghost. If we spend time in His Word to know the mind of Christ so He can speak things to us. So He can speak things to us. He knows the future of our church, people. He knows what's going to happen next week, next year. He knows where we're going to be. We got to know the mind of Christ. We got to follow in what He says to do. And when we follow in what He says to do, all things work out to the best. Not just maybe, but the best. We need to know the mind of Christ for our own personal lives. No, we need to know what God wants for us. And we know it's faith, taking one step at a time. Faith to believe, faith to know, faith to believe, faith to know. As we take one step at a time, God illuminates that path for us. And we know what's going to happen one step at a time. As He opens it up. But He told those disciples, get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. Sometimes Jesus says, Joe, get in the boat. Let's get to the other side. He knows the storm's in a rage. And it says the storm came. I mean, you know, you can read it in here. It says that it was kind of like it was a big storm. It was like a hurricane that rose up. If you look in the Greek and stuff, it's like a hurricane that rose up. Look, when water's hitting the sides of that boat and the water's coming in and the disciples are up there thinking we're going to die and Jesus in the hollow of the boat sleeping. They finally had enough sense to run down to Him. Why do we wait till we're in trouble? Why do we wait to pray till we're in trouble? Why do we wait to go to church till we're in trouble? You know? Why do we wait? Why do we wait? If everything's okay, my God, we're just on our right little path. But boy, the storms are going to rise up, people. And they will rise up. I know this. Old Slewfoot doesn't like you. The general of that army does not like you and I. And his demon spirits and his angels, fallen angels, they will do everything they can to bombard you and I to just bring destruction. They will destroy the outside world however they can. And they will try to bring destruction to God's people. But we have a commander-in-chief led by the Holy Spirit, our God, the third person of the Trinity, that is a commander-in-chief and is going to help us and lead us and guide us. That as the storms of life may rise up, we got to keep our faith and trust in Him and Him alone. Not in anything else. You know, it says that Paul went and preached. Now, Paul, you know, most people think, well, Paul was one of the disciples. No. He wasn't one of the original 12. But God revealed to him what needed to be preached to the church. What needed to be preached. That our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what He did on the cross. That's where our faith needs to be. And it says that as Jesus was sleeping, because you see, you know, He was tired. I mean, you know, He had the physical body, you know, of us. You know, He was tired. So He was sleeping. It's amazing to me that as the boat was rocking this way and that way and water was over it and all kinds of stuff, you know, that He just slept. I mean, I was awoken last night, I don't know how many times. Ba-boom! Man, what's going on? Ba-boom! Oh, Lord! What's coming in, you know? We need to be like Joey. Never heard it. Never heard it. But the storms of life will rise up. Jesus sleeping in that hollow of that boat. When they saw the storm coming, can you imagine if they would have ran down and said, Jesus, wake up. Do you care about us? They could have said the same thing, you know. And Jesus came out, spoke to that storm, and calmed it down. Because you see, that storm had rose up and it was backed by demon spirits. That's what it was. And so He spoke to the storm and calmed it down and said, cease. And it stopped immediately. Because you see, the devil wanted to destroy. He knew he couldn't destroy Jesus, but he wanted to try to destroy the disciples. Because they were bringing forth the Word of God. But also in the midst of the storm, the disciples saw their King, their God, to be Lord over the earth. Lord over the storms. Can you imagine? Just think about how many times you've gone through things and you get on the other side and you see how God brought you through it. You see the power and His presence. You see how God changed things on one side and let you go through and stopped you from going somewhere else and put you to another direction. How He changed the things that were trying to destroy you as the evil spirits were trying to oppress the mind and trying to bring destruction to the mind and to the body on the outside. God would step in and change it all. They saw, as they looked, can you imagine when Jesus walked to the top of that boat and He looked at that storm straight at it and said, peace, be still. And that storm just... To the disciples, it was a huge storm. Because you know why? Because their eyes were on the storm. Things look bigger. than what they really are when that's where our eyes are set on. And it also can be done in the spirit too. If our eyes stay on Jesus, He looks bigger than ever before. Not because He just looks big, but because He is big. But as our eyes are fastened upon the storm, just as sometimes as the disciples were, that storm looked huge. They thought they were going to die, and their only hope was to get down to Jesus and tell Him about it. And see if He really cared. And hey, we're the same way. Lord, do You really care? We've all been there. We can all laugh about it, huh? And it is a little funny because we can look back and say, Lord, we know You care, Lord. You know, You kind of, oh, yes, Lord. Ooh, thank You, Jesus. You know, thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You. But Lord, do You really care? And we know, my God, He cares. See, we have a lot of the disciple stuff in us. But you see, Jesus is working in us and getting those things out that we can look to Him for that guidance and that leadership. And it says Jesus walked out and calmed the seas. Calmed the seas. And it says this. It says, and they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And it's an amazing thing. He not only rebuked the wind, but the water too. We might be talking about something and God will take care of the whole storm. The whole thing, guys. The whole thing's taken care of. And they ceased and there was calm. And He said this in verse 25. And He said unto them, now, after it was all over and He calmed them down, and that's what He does to us. He calms us down and the blessings and the peace of God comes in, you know, and we just thank You, Lord. Jesus, and I'll say this, Jesus turned around, that's what I think, and looked at them and said, now men, where is your faith? Man, they were just enjoying the peace. Man, they were enjoying seeing what God had done. And God, Jesus comes back to them and says, where is your faith? And I know that must have hit them hard. Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? He commanded even the winds and the water, and they obeyed Him. See, our faith, guys, our faith needs to be in one thing. Jesus. Christ. And Him crucified. That's what Apostle Paul said. Our faith can only be in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What He did at the cross. The victory He won for us. The salvation He won for us. The justification and the sanctification of our lives that He won at the cross. As we put our faith in that and nothing else, God will... And in God will take the things that entangle us and break those things away as our faith is only in Him and Him alone. A lot of times, you know, we put maybe our faith in some other things. Ourself, maybe. In other people. In religious things of all sorts. But God says, no, 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 no. That's not right. There's only one man that paid the price. There's only one man that gave His life. There's only one man that gained victory over death, hell, and the grave. And His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The God that split the Red Sea wide open. The God that threw down the walls of Jericho. And gave that city to the Israelites. We are to have our faith in Jesus and Him only. And nothing else. You might say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? You say it. You ask God for help. Say, Lord, I put my faith in You, Lord. And what You did, Father. And that's all. That's all. And you continue to say that. And you say, Lord, only in you. Only in you. And God at that time starts to build your faith in Him. Because we don't want to be people without faith. As we were singing the second to last song the first time, I know faith in people started to rise up. I said, Lord, faith is rising up in this place. I feel it. I sense it. I feel it. I sense it. Faith to believe that as you're just standing there, that God can take care of all the problems, all the storms, all the situations, all the things that are going on that's right and wrong in your life. That faith was rising up in Him and Him alone to take care of those things that have boggled our minds, to take care of those things that have held us down, to take care of those things that are trying to destroy us. That God moved in, and when God moves in, the storm stops. And when the storm stops, He looks at us and says, where is your faith? And we say, it's in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In what He did, Father. In what You did, my Lord. That's where it's at. Knowing that He is taking care of those things. He is taking care of those things. Our God, your God, can move upon every situation in your life as we allow Him to. As we allow Him to. In Genesis chapter 32, go to verse 28. I think that's the verse I want. Jacob, go to verse 27. Go to start with the first verse that I gave you, and we'll read it. Verse 24. Yeah. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Now stop right there. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Stop right here. Don't let God go. Don't let God go. Be like Jacob. As he wrestled with the angel. And I know, look, that which was Jesus, the Godhead. I mean, he could have fought it and destroyed him. But because of the faith of Jacob, he said, I'll not let you go till you touch me. Some of you and I, we're going through some hard things, some troubles. Don't let God go. Because once you let God go, it's hard to come back. Don't let Him go. Don't lose your faith in Him. Don't lose your faith in what He can do and what He can perform. And He's not a magician, but what He can do. Don't lose faith in Him. What is thy name? Go back to the first few verses. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Look, the storms will rise. Things will happen. But look, don't let your God go. Hold on to Him. You may say, Pastor, it looks like I'm letting go. But I tell you what, if you stay on your knees or you just keep praying, you keep looking to Him, you're not letting Him go. Your faith is being built in Him. Your faith is being produced in Him. Your faith is growing in Him. It may look like it's maybe disappearing, but in actuality, what we think is lost, we are gaining. What we think we have lost our faith in, we have gained if we trust Him and keep looking to Him, keep calling out to Him, saying, Father, I need You. Father, I desire You. Father, I want You. Father, help me. And the blessings of God will be poured out upon us because of His presence. Don't let Him go. Don't let the angel, talking about Jesus, go from your life when things happen. I know sometimes we want to just sit there and we want to wallow in our little whatever. But you know what? Say, Father, help me. Because it does get rough. It does. It does get hard at times. But I tell you, we have a God that has conquered everything in this world and can conquer everything that comes after you, that can conquer all evil spirits because He's done it. It's already been paid for. He's done it. And He lives inside of us. He's big in us. The power of God is in us. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is in us. And God has given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, not because of who we are, but because of who we have our faith in. And that's Him. That's all. Not because we're mighty Christians, not because we're pastors, not because we're preachers, not because we preach His word, nothing like that. It's because of who we know and who we have put our faith and our trust in. That makes the difference. That's all of the difference in Him. So I tell you what, you can go forth as you put your faith in Him. And even though things may rise up, just walk through. Don't give up. Be like Jacob and say, I'll not let you go till you touch me. Because even in the midst of the storm, guys, when Jesus touches us, it's like we rise up. And there's something that happens on the inside that changes us. That changes us. Well, Amy, why don't you stand, please? Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Lord.